even though today is the Feast of the Blessed Mother, the readings will be taken from the, which it is today, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. And therefore, the epistle appointed to be read for this, the 16th Sunday, is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, I pray you not to be disheartened at my tribulations for you, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know Christ's love which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to accomplish all things in a measure far beyond what we ask or conceive, in keeping with the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, down through all the ages of time without end. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when Jesus entered the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to take food, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" But they remained silent. And he took and healed him and let him go. Then, addressing them, he said, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, and will not immediately draw him up on the Sabbath?" And they could give him no answer to these things. But he also spoke a parable to those invited, observing how they were choosing the first places at table, and he said to them, "When thou art invited to a wedding feast, do not recline at the first place, lest perhaps one more distinguished than thou have been invited by him, and he who invited thee and him come and say to thee, 'Make room for this man,' and then thou begin with shame to take the last place. But when thou art invited, go and recline in the last place, that when he who invited thee comes in, he may say to thee, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then thou wilt be honored in the presence of all who are at table with thee. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, today, of course, is the beautiful day, the feast day of the Blessed Mother, the birthday of the Blessed Mother, the Nativity, the feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And should be for us a very charming, a very beautiful, and very glorious feast day. I'm sure that this feast day, though of course we do not know exactly what day she was born, it makes little or no difference. But I'm sure that this, after having been set for this occasion, for this commemoration, you can be sure and certain that this is a very pleasing, a very wonderful feast and occasion for the Blessed Mother, and gives us every reason to approach her as little children and ask her to help us as our mother. Too many places place the Blessed Mother and look upon her and make a distant queen out of her. There's nothing wrong in the Blessed Mother being called queen, because she is a queen. looked upon as a queen merely, it makes it a little bit more unapproachable. She is our queen, no question about it. She is the queen of the universe, no question about it. She is the queen of angels and saints, no question about that. She is, however, something above and beyond queen. She is our mother. With all the delicacy and all the sweetness and all the humility and all of the wonderment possible coming from mother. And it is to her, our mother, that we can go at any time of the day or night. With the queen, we'd probably have to make an appointment, wouldn't we? And keep our distance, wouldn't we? But we could go to her day or night and throw our heads on her lap, and we can be certain that her hand will touch our heads and caress our hair, and she will listen to what is hurting us and will do what she can to help us. This is who we are talking about. It may come to us a little bit uncomfortable to think of this, but there are saints who refer to her as Mama, because she is our Mama, which is the most beautiful word in our vocabulary, isn't it? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. My beloved people, we are at that point, historically speaking, where we, in a day or so, will be observing an anniversary. An anniversary of terror, an anniversary of hideousness, an anniversary of killing and death, an anniversary of evil, an anniversary of hell's great act. And in the remembrance of this occasion, caused by whatever means, fair and foul, we have every reason to worry and to wonder and to be concerned about what is in store for us. And we fear. We cannot tell, we cannot predict. We do know pretty much what. We do know pretty much how, but we do not at all know when or where. And the horror of it is that we speak only from what we read about, without having experience of what it must be like. But today, in the next few days, we will all be gathering in various and sundry places, and we will see all kinds of flag wavers all over the place. And we will hear groups of people singing joyously, perhaps, certainly with much feeling, "God Bless America." And yet, those that are lifting their voices on high, singing, "God Bless America," first of all, are they calling on somebody they know? Are they calling on a stranger and asking a stranger to do something? And what is the something, perhaps, that they have in mind that they want that stranger to be doing for them? What exactly is America? In the minds of heart and hearts of those who are raising their voices to this unknown God and asking him to bless America, what is for them America? Is it a country? Is it a nation? What is it? For us to pray for the welfare of our nation, is the land of our birth, it is truly proper. And we should pray for the land of our birth. And for those who wish to bash the land of their birth, then let them find the land that will give them what they want, and let them transfer their allegiance to that place. But for those of us who remain here in the land of our birth, what are we praying for when we say, God bless America? We're not praying for a country. We're not praying for a land of our birth, a land of our birth. America, as far as too many of them are concerned, is more we're praying for, God bless my way of life. That's what America is, my way of life. How many of those that are waving all their flags really and truly know what they must be about? The blessing of America will not come by flag waving and singing hymns and songs. The blessing of America will come only with the conversion of the heart of man. And until that takes place, you can sing God Bless America until all the stars fall out of the skies and nothing will happen. Why are we seeing these things take place? Why are we seeing such total confusion? Why are we seeing all the things that we know we're looking at? What is wrong with the heart of man? Never before. Oh yes, man has always had been in trouble since the first days. From the very, very first day, practically speaking, man has been in trouble. But at least up to the present time, man, even though he gave no service, even though he expressed hatred, even though he did all the things he did, even in his hatred, he was acknowledging someone greater than himself. He hated, but he acknowledged. Today, we don't even take the time nor the energy to bother to hate, much less to love. We simply could care less. And because we do care so little and so less, then is it any wonder that we can see all of these problems that are going on with abortion and all that and all the rest and all the rest and all the rest? Is it any wonder that we see these things, that we experience these things? You cannot stop these crimes until the heart of man is brought into control. You may stop this particular incident or that particular incident. You may go across the street and so forth and so on. But as far as stopping abortion and stopping all the other crimes that we are so guilty of, do not speak of that. Until we can control the heart of man, we speak of this all the time in the interior life, don't we? Go out and speak the interior life to some of those flag wavers. They may not hit you, but they will certainly look with total wonderment and bewilderment. What kind of person is this, and what is he talking to me about? I want my cake, and I am going to keep it. And nothing else matters to me, because I'm going to keep the cake that I am going to eat. Once upon a time, after the great flood, man came together and decided he was going to protect himself, so that in case the flood would ever happen again, he would be safe. So he started building an enormous building that he could go into in case of flood, and he would be safe. And the Lord God saw this was happening, and he sent his angel down. And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, the men that were working on the building could not understand each other. And there was confusion of tongue, confusion of language. And of course, all the work stopped on this great and mammoth enterprise and project. The Lord God is again walking the face of the earth. And he sent his angel down. And already the angel has come and visited. And we have not been scourged with confusion of tongue. But this time we have been scourged with something far worse than the confusion of tongue. We have been scourged with the confusion of thought. And there is confusion everywhere to be seen. And do we find any two men, hardly speaking, that think alike? And so we go on. And my beloved people, those of us, and this has been told to you before, those of us who have been given a grace, and it is indeed a special grace, a tremendous grace, to know the Lord God and to worship the Lord God, and who see in the sky not a flag, not a symbol, but look up in the sky and see his cross. And by that sign we shall conquer. We see that. And we work that. That's what we must do. Nothing else will help us but the conversion of the inner man. And the conversion of the inner man can only take place by way of the cross. Today, a subject that has no meaning to the vastest majority of human beings. But then comes the question. What are we to pray for? And who are we to pray for? What are we to pray for? Really and truly, as far as we look around and about us, we really don't know. Except that we pray that God's majesty will present itself to us all. That's what we must pray for. And for whom must we pray? We must pray for every human being, every man, woman, or child that walks the face of this earth, regardless of who he is, regardless of what he does, regardless of how he thinks, and so on. No one can be intentionally excluded from our prayer. There are those who do exclude because of hatred and animosity. Well, let them know that anyone, for everyone, that anyone excludes from his prayer, let him know that in proportion to his amount of hatred for any man, will the good that is offered to God for him by the prayer of someone for him, that good will be diminished. We may not exclude anybody. We may not exclude anybody by way of our judgment, because our judgment is based on our personal opinion. The only one above all, anywhere, anytime, any place, the only one who is permitted judgment is God alone. Eternal judgment. For the rest, let us keep our opinions to ourselves. Let us pray for mankind. Let us pray for the human race. Let us pray for the family of man, wherever he is located. You might think that I'm exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. Because I've had, if you could call it an opportunity, which it isn't, but an occasion, we'll call it, to talk to a high, leading, spiritual man. And I was very politely informed that there are those on this earth for whom we should not pray. Because why? Because they are essentially evil. And to pray for someone who is essentially evil is a waste of time. Do we pray for Satan, who is indeed evil? And this was, has been taught and is being taught in places, that there are essentially evil people on this earth for whom we should not pray. My beloved people, that is a dangerous route to take. God did not create anything, especially in mankind, any man that is essentially evil. Therefore, let us not sear our consciences by making such a reckless statement, by having and keeping harboring in our minds such a totally reckless conviction. We are no longer at a moment's time in history where we can afford to be reckless. So let us turn today to this woman whose power, as far as we are concerned, is unlimited. Let us ask her, first of all, to come and take residence in our hearts and to protect us, at least us who work for her and her son, and ask her also to enter into the hearts of all those who have hearts that are full of mischief. That should be our prayer today. She can do it, but she's got to know that we really want her to do it, my beloved people.